Hey, Jared Morris here. If you know anything about Rainmaker Digital and Copyblogger, you may know that we produce incredible live events. Well, some would say that we produce incredible live events as an excuse to throw great parties, but that's another story. We've got another one coming up this October in Denver. It's called Digital Commerce Summit, and it is entirely focused on giving you the smartest ways to create and sell digital products and services. You can find out more and get a killer early bird price on your tickets at rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. We'll be talking about Digital Commerce Summit in more detail as it gets closer. But for now, I'd like to let a few attendees from our past events speak for us.
For me, it's just hearing from the experts. I mean, this is my first industry event, so it's awesome to learn new stuff and also get confirmation that we're not doing it completely wrong where I work.
The best part of the conference for me is being able to mingle with people and realize that you have connections with everyone here. It feels like LinkedIn Live. I also love the parties after each day, being able to talk to the speakers, talk to other people who are here for the first time, people who've been here before.
I think the best part of the conference for me is understanding how I can service my customers a little more easily, seeing all the different facets and components of various enterprises then helps me pick the best tools.
Hey, we agree. One of the biggest reasons we host a conference every year is so that we can learn how to service our customers, people like you, more easily. And here are just a few more words from folks who have come to our past live events.
It's really fun. I think it's a great mix of beginner information and advanced information. So I'm really learning a lot and having a lot of fun.
Conference is great, especially because it's a single track conference where you don't get distracted by like, which session should I go to and am I missing something?
I mean, the training and everything, the speakers have been awesome, but I think the coolest aspect for me has been connecting with both people who are putting it on and then the other attendees.
So that's it for now. There's a lot more to come on Digital Commerce Summit, and I really hope to see you there in October. Again, to get all the details and the very best deal on tickets, head over to rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. Welcome back to The Digital Entrepreneur. I am your host, Jared Morris, the VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and this is episode number 24. And on this week's episode, I am joined by a friend, a mentor, and a guy whose work ethic is second to none, even though he only works 6 hours a week these days and takes Fridays off. He burst onto the scene by teaching other entrepreneurs how to leverage the power of virtual assistants to build a more efficient and effective business. And he hasn't stopped helping entrepreneurs since, both as a constant creator of useful content and as a leader by example. And today, he runs the highly successful entrepreneurial community, Youpreneur, and he hosts the Youpreneur podcast on Rainmaker.fm as well. He is a coach, author, expert, speaker, blogger, podcaster, and he is here to share some important wisdom with you that he has learned along the way throughout his entrepreneurial journey. He is Chris Ducker. And Chris will be joining me on stage this October, actually, at Digital Commerce Summit in Denver, Colorado. And as I have told you on the last few episodes, as you surely know by now, the conference will be held on October 13th and 14th. And all of us at Rainmaker Digital really hope that you will join us at what we are planning on being and really hope is a one-of-a-kind event. And here's what we hope will make this event one-of-a-kind. First, it's not like a lot of the other kind of cattle call conferences that you may have been to, where every 90 minutes you have to make a difficult decision about what presentation you want to go to. At Digital Commerce Summit, you are treated to a single track of speakers, curated personally by Brian Clark, that follow a step-by-step progression to take you from point A to point B with your digital product and services. We really want to help you take the next step. That's the goal. There's a bias for action at this conference. We don't want you leaving Denver in the same place with your business that you showed up. The event is about action, and you're going to be buzzing with ideas and an itch to execute by the time it's over and you're traveling home. That is our goal. Second, in terms of what will make this event unique and one of a kind, is what other conference is held at a famous theater and treats you to a special musical performance by the band Cake? Well, you're going to get both at Digital Commerce Summit, and this combination of fun and education is what makes it a great place to network and why it is the premier live educational and networking event for entrepreneurs who create and sell digital products and services. But here's the deal. The early bird price goes away next week. So this episode is coming out on Thursday, July 21st. That's when this episode is coming out. The early bird price goes away next week on Thursday, July 28th. So you really don't want to hesitate to get your ticket because you're only going to end up spending more. And here's something even better. Since I am going to be speaking and since Chris is going to be a speaker at the event, I can actually give you the special speaker link, which allows you to get an even better deal than the one that is being offered publicly. And this deal with the special speaker link that I'm about to give you also expires with the early bird price on July 28th. So here's the link. Make sure that you remember it or write it down. All right. It's rainmaker.fm/summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, dash speakers, S-P-E-A-K-E-R-S. rainmaker.fm/summit-speakers. And that link, of course, will be in the show notes as well. So go there. Make sure that you book your ticket before the early bird price goes away. And with that link, you get a price that's even better than the early bird price. All right. So make sure that you go there. rainmaker.fm/summit-speakers. All righty. Well, let's get to this week's discussion. Here we go. Enjoy some wit, wisdom, and lots of energy, and lots of great stories, too, as you would expect, from the one and only Chris Ducker. Mr. Ducker, welcome to the Digital Entrepreneur. You and I last saw each other in February, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again in October in Denver.
Yes, yes, it's going to be good. Thanks for having me back on the show, man.
Oh, for sure, for sure. It's a pleasure having you here. Excited to talk with you about all this stuff today. This will be good.
Yeah.
So be good. So speaking of Denver, your talk at Digital Commerce Summit is titled The 6 Steps to Building a Successful Membership Business, which yes. You have clearly done with Youpreneur. So don't give away any of your big secrets here, but what's maybe one important step to building a successful membership business that people often overlook in your experience?
Well, I think ultimately it really comes down to, you know, should you even do it in the first place? I think that's the main reason why the majority of membership sites fail is because the people that are starting them shouldn't actually be starting them. So, you know, for example, you shouldn't launch a membership site if you want to make money quickly, right? You shouldn't launch it if you want it to be a passive business. You shouldn't launch a membership site if you're not thinking long term, if you're not committed to the community and so on and so on and so on. And I think that's the big issue right there, is that a lot of people don't think enough about it. They think, oh, it's a new shiny object. Let's jump on the bandwagon and see how much money we can make. And I think that connected to the lack of validating of your idea in the first place is probably the biggest reasons why memberships fail. You know, before we launched Youpreneur, one of the big things that I did in terms of validation was, and this was, you know, we're talking about this time last year, actually, I was hardcore on Periscope, as you might remember.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously Periscope has changed a little bit and Facebook Live has come into the game very much so. And so Periscope is not as popular as it was. I still feel like they're going to be, you know, doing a good job in being part of the leading focus in live streaming, but it's not the big kahuna that was this time last year. But what I was doing this time last year was pretty much Monday through to Friday, I was on Periscope for about 15 to 20 minutes every day, conversing with my audience on there, and I was validating everything for Youpreneur before we went into hardcore launch mode, which was beginning in September. And so we were a couple of months ahead of time. We were validating everything from just the concept with, you know, whether or not we're going to make it more community focused or whether we're going to make it more deliverable of content focused. We were validating everything from the headlines that we were going to use on the landing page, the subtitles, the benefit points, you name it. There were things that I was saying on Periscope, which I thought were going to be brilliant on a landing page, that just fell horribly flat. So we removed them from our landing page script completely. But there were certain things that really stood out. And the one big one was whenever I said anything that remotely resembled the sentence of the entrepreneurial community where nobody gets left behind – everybody went crazy on the comments and on the hearts. Mm. And so that right there is the tagline right at the top of the landing page. And so we were validating the idea for youpreneur.com, you know, a long time before we were actually launching it. And we were doing it with a live audience. So you were getting that live feedback. So I think, yes, a horribly long answer to a very simple question. Make sure you're validating your idea. But before you even go there, make sure that a membership site is even for you to begin with, because it might not be. And that's fine. But you've got to be honest with yourself and then maybe move in a slightly different direction.
No, that's a great answer. And I'm really glad that you mentioned what you did about validating, because I think that is overlooked. And I think it's amazing a lot of times what you find out that surprises you, you know, because it's like you said, stuff that you thought was going to be a home run and it falls flat, and something that you maybe didn't think was going to be that great and everybody is responding to it. And so it's one thing to validate it and get the feedback, and then it's another thing to kind of be able to put your ego aside and, you know, and if it's not the idea that you loved in the first place, but something else, you know, to be humble enough to say, hey, this is what the audience wants. Let me give it to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, I always say it's so important for you to listen to your audience. Your audience will ultimately guide how your business builds and grows. But if you're ignoring them, particularly on an important decision such as a new product or service offering, then you're destined for doom.
Yeah, no, you are for sure. So, Chris, I've always believed that the number one benefit of digital entrepreneurship is freedom. And I have a feeling that you agree with this, especially considering, you know, the books that you've written and how you got your start. But, you know, the freedom to choose your projects, the freedom to chart your course, and ultimately the freedom to change your life and your family's life for the better. I'm really interested to know, what benefit of digital entrepreneurship do you appreciate the most?
Well, I think it's being able to ultimately touch as many people as I can, and try and help as many people as I can. You know, as I've grown my career as an entrepreneur in the last 12, 13 years or so, remember, I'm a brick and mortar guy. Like, yeah. You know, I still own brick and mortar. I have over 450 people working for me right now in a facility, probably 20 minutes drive from my home, but I'm only there once or twice a month. So, you know, I'm a very old school kind of brick and mortar type entrepreneur that happened to get involved in the digital space in late 2009, early 2010, when I started blogging and podcasting and all the rest of it. And so, you know, when I started, I didn't really know why I was doing what I was doing. It was a bit of a strange kind of journey for me, but I knew that I was enjoying it. And I knew that I was enjoying, you know, being able to, you know, get in touch with people and work with people and help people and inspire people and all the rest of it. And so it, for me, I think the biggest benefit is being able to build an audience, a community, and ultimately a client base from literally every corner of the globe. And I truly am blessed to have a community from all around the world. It's not, I mean, yes, the, you know, 50% of it's in America, but when you look at the map, that's an obvious reason why, right? Yeah. But, you know, when I hear from people that are based all over Europe and all over Asia and Australia and the UK and Canada and all these other places, or even, you know, even Africa and places like that, you know, not everybody is going to end up spending money with me. I get it. But if I can still help and inspire them, then I'm a happy camper. I think it's probably the biggest benefit for me is being able to, you know, genuinely garner that kind of worldwide audience. I love it. It just inspires me greatly.
Why do you think you've been able to do that? Because, I mean, a lot of people have had that goal to build that kind of audience, and you've been so successful doing it and building a global audience. And clearly your gratitude and your appreciation for the audience comes through in everything you do. But what do you think it's been about you that has allowed you to build an audience so successfully?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, I'm me all the time. I mean, you know me, we're buddies, we've hung out, and all the, what you're hearing on the podcast right now is me in real life as well. Maybe minus a few F-bombs here and there. but no, you know, honestly, what you see is what you get with me. And I'm of the mindset where, and you know, the term I like to use is I market like a magnet. So I like to attract the best and repel the rest. And so if I can attract the right people towards me and my vibe, and what I'm all about, then I know that I'm going to be ultimately creating the right kind of tribe for myself. So I think that's the first thing, is genuinely just being me all the time. What you see is what you get. The second thing is that I've never focused on one particular market. And I think that there's nothing wrong with doing that. But I think a lot of people kind of let themselves down a little bit in terms of their growth potential, where they focus entirely, say, on a US market or a UK market. Because, you know, I'm of the old adage where, you know, money is good all around the world. I don't need to be prejudiced towards one particular, you know, location or country or one particular area of the world. I'll take anybody's money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think a lot of people actually do genuinely let themselves down in this regard, where they're focusing on one particular area. Now, look, if that's okay with them, if they're totally all right with that and they're going after that for a very clear reason, then that's all good. I'm not here to you know, moan about it. But I do believe that a lot of people could be A, making a lot more money, and B, providing a lot more help and support for people around the world if they were to maybe open up their horizons a little bit and not focus on smaller geographic locations. And I've never done that. And I believe that's one of the reasons why I've been able to grow the global brand that I've got. That and the fact that I travel genuinely all around the world for speaking, I think has also helped me as well.
Now, when you say, you know, in terms of the market, you're talking about geography, right? Because it's like with Youpreneur, you're clearly targeting entrepreneurs. So you will target specific markets in terms of interest or worldview, that kind of thing. But you're talking specifically just about geography, not pinning yourself down to one place.
Correct. Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So I'd love for you to tell me about a milestone or a moment in your career as a digital entrepreneur that you are the most proud of. What story comes to your mind first when I ask that?
Most proud of? God, there's a lot.
Good.
I think that one of the biggest thing, one of the biggest kind of moments, and it had nothing to do with money or anything like that. I think one of the biggest things for me, I was doing a book signing in New York a couple of years ago, and I was getting to the end of the session that had been going on for a couple of hours. I was getting a little tired, and you know, but I was still sort of trying to bring the energy to everybody that came up with a copy of the book to sign. And this middle-aged gentleman came up and he said to me, you know, I want you to know that this book has changed my life. And you know what? As an author, you get that. You get genuinely kind of repetitive comments like that quite regularly. Now, I don't take it lightly. Don't get me wrong. You know, those words are incredibly impactful, right? But I don't know why I did this and why this guy. And usually I'll just say, oh, thanks very much. You know, I really appreciate you picking up the book sort of thing. But with this guy, there was something about him. And I said to him, why? How did it change your life? There was just something in me that just needed to know. And he then went ahead within a minute and a half or so, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, brutally here, but basically he had lost his wife the year before to cancer. He had a four-year-old daughter and was working 9 to 6. His daughter was getting picked up by, you know, child carers, dropped off at playgroup and kindergarten or whatever. And then, you know, he would get back at 8 o'clock at night. She's already had a dinner from the carer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he was making good money, but he was never with his daughter. And he really wanted to be with his daughter after her losing her mother. And he basically started a, you know, a kind of a side hustle. And he picked up my book and hired his first VA to help him with the marketing of that. And within inside of 8 to 9 months or so, he was making enough money on the side to quit his full-time job and to go full-time working at home so he could be there with his daughter all the time. And as he was telling me this story, I felt my eyes welling up with tears, and I just blinked and they rolled down my face, which in turn made him start crying. And then my wife was standing by, and you've met hers as well. And she started crying, and it just turned into one big cry fest. And but so that for me was probably like, I always think of that one moment actually. But and I remember the guy's name. His name is Brad. And I remember the look on his face when he told me that story. And, you know, when you have that kind of impact, oh man, no amount of money can put, I mean, that little girl has her dad now. She doesn't have a mum, but she has a dad every single morning, every single afternoon when she comes back from school, every single night. And that's incredible. That's impact that's not measurable with any dollar sign or euro sign or pound sign next to it. And I love that stuff.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the benefit that you mentioned earlier that you love of digital entrepreneurship is being able to help people. And you took something that you were an expert in, you know, working smarter, not harder, you know, helping people add efficiencies to their days. And by teaching that to someone else, totally changed his life. It's an amazing story.
Well, that's the very definition of digital entrepreneurship, isn't it? Right? Taking what we have as an expertise, and everybody's an expert in something, I believe, anyway, just it, obviously varying degrees of expert level, right? But that's the very definition of what it is to be a digital entrepreneur in my mind. Taking what you know, putting into a format, whether it be a course or a blog or a podcast or a video or whatever it is, and giving it out to the world or selling it to the world where you can then go ahead and move the needle for somebody else. I love that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so let me flip that around now. Tell me about the most humbling moment in your career as a digital entrepreneur and what you learned from it.
Humbling moment. Wow, these are good questions, man. You're good now. This is it. Like you know your job, my man.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, that could be humbling as well. That story could be humbling.
In a sense, yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I always feel incredibly humbled when I'm invited to speak at events, right? Because that's not digital, right? That's live. That's in person.
Yeah.
But I think because of the work that we do online, and the stuff that we put out there, is a nice technical word, stuff that we put out there for people to consume and learn from, you know, I'm blessed to be in a position where I'm getting, you know, invites to speak at events like the event coming up in October in Denver. And so, you know, I think when I'm in front of a crowd of a few hundred people or even a larger crowd, I think the largest crowd I've spoken in front of is around about 900 people or so. When you're in front of a crowd of people like that of any size, that's humbling. You've got their attention, yeah. Or at least you want to have their attention. You don't want them on their phone unless they're taking notes because you're fantastic. You know, but I mean, I think that's pretty humbling. And also, you know, when you're done with the talk and you see a little bit of a line forming and people want to come and say hi, or they just want to say thanks, or they want to ask you a question, that's humbling. I like all that. I mean, for me, that's one of the reasons why I talk live. That's one of the reasons why I travel so much, is to be able to meet people and converse and shake hands and give out a few hugs and all that sort of stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, totally. I agree with you completely. So let's fast forward to now and let's talk a little bit about your business now and what you're doing now. What is the one word that you would use to sum up the status of your business as it stands today?
I don't know whether I could have one word, but I mean, one phrase that we're using a lot internally, and I also use it externally as well with my tribe and people that follow me online, and that is chase it down. I say it all the time. We're actually in the process of getting t-shirts designed.
Nice. Chase it down t-shirts.
Chase
like
it down t-shirts. I'll have one with me hopefully in October for you, brother.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, that for me is what it's all about right now. You know, I've been active online for 6.5 years. I've been incredibly blessed and honored to build the personal brand that I've got, to get a best-selling book out of it, to launch, you know, Youpreneur and everything else that we do. Now it's about chasing it down. And it, by the way, in that sentence, is different for everyone, obviously. Whatever it is that you're wanting to achieve, whatever level of success that you want to aspire to, that's the it. And so you've got to chase it down. It ain't going to fall on your lap, plain and simple. There's no luck in business. I'm a big believer of that. You make your own luck. And so I am on that chase it down mission right now with my team, with my community, with my subscribers, with everyone that I come into contact with on a day-to-day basis. It's all about chasing it down.
So what's one of the specific its that's at the top of your priority list now? Like something specific, and what are you doing to get there, to chase it down?
Yeah, so our number one focus right now is to get to 1,000 mastermind community members for Youpreneur by the end of this year. We're about halfway there now. And what we're doing right now, actually, is we're completely rebuilding our automation funnel. We are planning out and launching probably in about 3 weeks from now, maybe even less than that, actually, a scarcity launch before we put the price up on September 1. Mm-hmm. We are also putting in place a number of different live webinars that I'm going to be doing on a number of different topics as well. So, you know, the perfect, and you know, the crossover between our two shows here is quite, it's quite adamant. Everyone can see it.
Yeah.
The perfect, you know, the perfect client or customer or member for Youpreneur is that digital entrepreneur. It's an author, speaker, coach, consultant, expert, blogger, podcaster, whoever. It doesn't matter. It's that person, what I call a personal brand entrepreneur. And so, you know, we're going to be teaming up with a lot of individual communities and groups that focus on, say, providing info for authors or providing info for speakers or providing info for consultants and coaches and all these sort of types of things. So, you know, 70% of the webinar will ultimately be the same, but there's going to be a lot of personalization and customization for each one. And that's where we're looking to try and bring in those additional 500 members.
And, you know, and I like how you've got specific numbers there. Have you found that that's been really useful for you? I mean, in terms of being able to chase it down to really know what it is down to a level of specificity, like, you know, you want 1,000 people. I mean, yeah. How important is that for you?
So I'm a sales and marketing guy. I have been since I was 17 years old. And, you know, through the very big majority of my 20s, I had no salary. I worked 100% on commission, and that takes some balls for anybody. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was just in a position where I'm a good sales guy, plain simple. And so, you know, we're talking when I was still back in London, I was working at the publishing company. I actually said no to a basic salary, even with two children in tow, because I wanted the higher rate of commission because I had confidence in myself to make the sales I needed to. And so I'm a very, very target oriented entrepreneur to this day because of that beginning in sales and marketing world. Everything we do, everything is broken down, by the way, per month. So August, we want to have 200 people sign up to Youpreneur based on that scarcity launch that we're putting in place. Then there's, you know, 75 people in September and so on and so on and so on. And so, yeah, we're very, very numbered focused. I have a saying that the numbers never lie. The numbers never lie. And if you ignore the numbers, you do so at your own economic peril. They will tell you exactly what you need to do, how you want to change things. And we do it, you know, as digital entrepreneurs, we do it anyway. We look at our order, or we should be looking at our analytics and our order responder and our open rates and click-through rates and all these things. If you're not looking at those things, you're letting yourself down and you're letting your audience down, because sometimes it only takes very small tweaks to boost all those numbers up and more people end up getting touched and inspired by what you're all about. You help more people, you support more people, and so on and so on and so on. So yeah, very, very number-orientated, extremely target-focused as well.
Yeah. So, you know, you talk about this goal that you have of getting to 1,000, and there's you can just tell the enthusiasm and the confidence in your voice, and you've clearly got a plan. I'm curious though, what's maybe your biggest challenge right now? You know, what is something that you see as a hurdle to getting there, and how are you trying to overcome that or preempt that from keeping you from your goals?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think that it's because there's a lot of other membership sites out there, right? And you know, the old adage of, well, there's a lot of competitors on the horizon or whatever, that, you know, for us, there are a lot of competitors. There are. And so what we do is exactly what I preach. And that is, I focus on selling the benefits and the features around what Youpreneur is. And that is an authority community based around me and my brand, my expertise, and the way that I coach people to build successful businesses. And so that is our, you know, that's our number one thorn in the side right now, is the fact that there are a crap ton of entrepreneur focused communities online right now. And the way that we get over that, or hope to get over that, and have been getting over that to a certain degree, is by ultimately putting me front and center for the community at this current moment in time. The ultimate goal for Youpreneur is to actually have a team of experts inside of there that can help people across the board, from everything from, you know, content creation and marketing down to, you know, sales, down to conversions, and you name it. But ultimately right now, it, you know, the focus is on what I can do for you as a member of the community. And it's working well. But yeah, that's the biggest issue, man. There are a lot of membership communities right now for the entrepreneur out there. So it's you are fighting. You're fighting for the eyeballs. You're fighting for the buy now clicks. I'm okay. I can handle the old scrap.
Well, you know, and the thing is, I mean, that's, you know, that's something that a lot of people are facing now. As more and more people go online, you know, there's going to be more competition out there. How do you go about really trying to position yourself, you know, when you are in a crowded market? What are some of your strategies for making sure that you do stand out?
Well, I think, like I said, number one, you be you all the time. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk calls it, you know, do you. And, you know, I believe, particularly because of the focus of Youpreneur being a community for personal brand entrepreneurs, if I'm not being me, if I'm not building that business around my personal brand, that's not the best postage stamp for that. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of feel like I have to lead the way for my members by doing it myself. So if I put something in the community, a piece of content, for example, and then I don't follow my own advice, I'm an idiot. That's right. You shouldn't be listening to me. So, yeah. You know, I believe, honestly, I truly believe one of the ways to get out of that, stand out from the crowd, is to do you, as Gary says, is to be yourself all of the time. And please don't talk about stuff that you don't know anything about. That's the one thing I see a lot of people doing now. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to kind of, you know, broaden their horizons a little bit. They're trying to, you know, go after a certain part of the market or the internet that they see a lot of money attached to. And they're talking about stuff they don't know about. If they're good at talking, they will be able to convince a certain number of people. But let me tell you something, sooner or later, they're going to fall flat on their face and they're going to look ridiculous and people are going to ask for refunds and their reputation is going to be scarred online. So don't talk about stuff that you know nothing about. If you don't know anything about something and you want to cover it inside of your community, then bring somebody else in to do a workshop or a webinar or something for you. Don't try and be the jack of all trades and just be yourself. That's what I'm doing.
Are there any red flags that you would tell people to look out for to know if they're listening to a charlatan or someone who actually knows what they're talking about?
Well, you know, I do things like whenever I see anybody online that's standing in front of a Ferrari or that kind of like that. Not that many people have Ferraris. I mean, like, how many people do you know that own a Ferrari? I literally know nobody that owns a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Nobody. And so, you know, when you see things like that, or if you see guys, you know, like on yachts or you know, walking around a huge mansion or all this sort of stuff, like, for me, it's just cheesy. For me, it doesn't do anything for me at all. And I guess there are some people that kind of want to have that dream life and everything. But, you know, unless you, like, for instance, Tony Robbins stepping off of his private jet on a tarmac somewhere on the way to do another, you know, live seminar in front of 3,000 people. That's believable because you know it's Tony Robbins.
Right.
But some guy that you've never heard of before doing a similar thing, you've got to question it. You just have to. And I think, you know, there's, you know, it's things like, you know, visual red flags like that. And then also actually listen to what they're saying. If all they're doing is skating on the surface, the chances are there's no real substance there.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about building a successful business, don't say that, you know, I made $15 million last year. It was awesome and I can teach you. No, tell me how you made the 15 mil and then I'll listen to you a little bit more. That kind of thing, you know?
Did you just slip into an American accent right there?
Yeah. Was it any good?
It was pretty good. Yeah. I like that.
Oh, dear me.
Okay. So earlier I asked you for, you know, what was the one word that you would use to sum up the status of your business as it stands today? And you used the phrase, chase it down. So if we talk again in a year, and I'm assuming that we will talk again in a year, what would you want that one word or phrase to be then? And you can't use chased it down because that would be cheap.
Still chasing it down. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, chase it down is kind of, I mean, you can always be chasing something down. You just be on to the next thing, I suppose.
You can. I mean, I think that also, you know, one of the reasons why I focused in, and I remember it was the middle of 2012, I had just had back surgery, and I was thinking about what I was doing online. And, you know, we were building the businesses and everything at the same time. And I figured, you know what, when people talk, and the blog at the time was Virtual Business Lifestyle. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but we had the blog and we had the podcast under the same brand name, the same domain, the whole lot. But it was never, are you reading Virtual Business Lifestyle? Or do you listen to the Virtual Business Lifestyle podcast? It was always, are you reading Chris Ducker's blog? Or are you listening to Chris Ducker's podcast? And so I had started to develop this personal brand for myself quite out of, I guess, just pure luck to a certain degree, or maybe it was a mistake, I don't know. But once I had decided following surgery that I was going to zoom in on my personal brand, one of the reasons why I was so excited about it was that I knew that if people were following me for me and what I personally could bring them, because they liked me and my vibe, that ultimately I could pivot without any major loss at any point in my career going forward. So, for example, in 2013, going into 2014, I was talking a lot about virtual staff and how to delegate and build virtual teams and things like that. And I still talk about it now, but I really zoomed in on that because Virtual Freedom is coming out in April of 2014. But now, since the book, and because I knew Youpreneur was going to be launched late 2015, I started talking more about the personal brand side of the business and all the rest of it. And so I've been able to pivot. And I think that's, I think that word itself is a great word, because being able to pivot, because we're not always going to want to talk about the same thing forever.
Right.
You know, and it got to the point actually with the whole VA thing that if I got asked the question, where's the best place to find a virtual assistant again, I was literally going to pull out whatever hair I had left, because it was so boring to talk about virtual assistants for the, you know, 300th time that year. So I think we have to pivot. We have to move forward. We've got to change our visions and our goals. Yes, still chase it down, but ultimately it's okay to pivot. And so I think that word right there is a nice word to focus on, and not kind of, you know, shoebox yourself or pigeonhole yourself too much into one particular focus, you know. And Brian, yeah. Brian Clark is the perfect example of someone who's pivoted. Some pivots have been huge pivots, massive life-changing pivots, but he's been able to do it one time after another because of the overall quality of what he is known for and his team is known for. He's been able to do it without any major loss of business. And in fact, if anything, it's just got better and better and better. So I like the idea of pivoting.
I wonder, you know, I'm curious, the way that you have built your business and kind of built it around a personal brand, I wonder if that has ever created a dilemma for you as a coach. And what I mean by that is, you know, there are a lot of people who want to be digital entrepreneurs, but maybe, you know, don't have the charisma that you have, or just the comfortability being out front and kind of being the face and having, you know, their name be out front, and would maybe be more comfortable, you know, being associated with a topic than it being associated with them. How do you coach those folks who have seen you do it this way, but maybe don't have the same comfort level with doing it the way that you've done it?
Yeah, I mean, generally speaking, that kind of thing is very, very hard to change. And I have tried with many coaching clients. And even within Youpreneur, we see some people join and they're not comfortable being front and center. And they're very vocal about that inside of the community. Some people want to learn how to get out of the shell and be more front and center, but some people genuinely do not. And I'm at the point in my career as a coach now that I don't want to work with those people, because it's like trying to run up, you know, a 65 degree hill. It's going to kill you. You know, so I genuinely now will steer away from those kind of people, because we kind of know, we know whether or not we want to do something or not.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a tough one. And I think that, you know, particularly as we get older, we kind of make these choices where sometimes, you know, you've got to say no more often than yes. I mean, if you think about it, whenever you say yes, you're saying no to something else immediately,
right?
At exactly the same time. So if I say yes to coaching someone who is like that and isn't too sure about whether they want to be out in front, and possibly I probably won't be able to change that mindset, I'm saying no at exactly the same time to working with somebody that does want to genuinely be out in front and that I know I can help achieve some great success. And so it's a tough one. I tend to steer away from that kind of situation nowadays.
Yeah, well, and it allows you to have the maximum impact, you know, when you're not spending so much time trying to change someone's mindset that may not change. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Oh, God, go on in.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, some of these questions have been rapid fire, dude. You know the old adage of like, this guy knows his job. Like, you know your job, no doubt about it.
Thank you. So, okay, so let's start out with this one. So if you could have every person who will ever work with you or for you read one book, not written by you, you can't choose your own. What would it be? What would the book be?
Oh, dear. Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk.
It's a good one.
Good book. I mean, that was the book for me, late 2009. I picked that book up and just loved it. Like, I fell in love with the whole personal brand business idea right there and then. So it would be Crush It.
Yeah. Good one. Makes sense, too. If you could have a 30-minute Skype call to discuss your business with anyone tomorrow, who would it be?
Sir Richard Branson.
Mm. What would you ask him? What would be your first question?
How the hell are you so energetic at 66?
Yeah, no kidding.
The guy is, I mean, but you know what? That's maybe the answer is just there, plain in front of you. Just stay active, I think, in general. I think that is. We can all get a little, you know, lazy, myself included at times. So, yeah, I mean, I would deep dive with Sir Richard on the subject of teams and people and building businesses with great teams. That would probably be my focus with him. The guy's just incredible. He's just easily my number one influencer when it comes to entrepreneurship in general.
Yeah. Well, and such a great example of doing new things and finding new challenges to keep you fresh, you know, and to keep you energetic and motivated.
Well, that's his screw it, let's do it, you know, mantra right there. You know, he's tried so many different things and some of them have failed horribly, but obviously the successes that he's had wouldn't have come about if he hadn't have followed that mantra.
So what is the proper way to address him? Like would you say Sir Richard ... is your question? Is that the proper way to?
I would, if I was introduced to him for the first time, I would call him Sir Richard as a fellow Brit for sure. I guess it's ingrained in us too.
Yeah.
It's like if you meet the Queen, it's Your Majesty, you know. You would never call the Queen Elizabeth or Liz, you know, you wouldn't do it.
Hey, Liz.
I mean, you know, but it's funny. It's funny, right? Because, you know, for instance, Sir Elton John, I wouldn't probably call him Sir Elton. I'd probably just call him Elton. I mean, he's a rock star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas with somebody like Sir Richard, I would definitely call him Sir Richard. But knowing people that have spent time with him, he squashes that immediately and says, please, just call me Richard. Please.
That's good. Okay.
So, but I think I'd show him the respect out of the gate and drop the sir in there.
Very nice. Okay, good. So just in case I ever run into that situation, I'll be prepared now, which is good.
Yeah, yeah.
What is the one email newsletter that you can't do without?
Ooh, Ramit Sethi.
Mm.
God, he's so good. If you're not on his list,
he is good.
And you're a digital entrepreneur, you need to get on his list. That guy knows his job. He writes some of the best copy I've ever come across in my life. And by the way, you know, if you ever get the opportunity to be an affiliate for Ramit Sethi, say yes. And he doesn't, you know, it's not an open invite to pitch his stuff. You need to be invited by him. And I very luckily was invited by him a couple of years ago, and I continue to promote his stuff as and when I see the match there for my own community. But, you know, I remember he was coming onto the show on my podcast, and we were talking about a launch, and I was going to be behind the launch, and he came on the show. And before he came on the show, I spoke with Pat Flynn, who is a close friend of mine, and Ramit had been on Pat's show a couple of times. And I said to Pat, what's the deal with Ramit? Like, you know, I've met Ramit, I've hung out with him, but I've never had him on the show. Like, you know, what's the deal? And he said, dude, just... And Pat begins every sentence with the word dude, right?
Dude.
Because he's from California. That's his vibe. dude, just ask a question and shut the hell up.
Until he's done talking,
then ask your next question and shut the hell up and let him talk again. The guy's just incredible. He's an incredible digital entrepreneur himself. Everybody should be on that guy's mailing list just to learn from him.
He was on a recent episode of the Tim Ferriss show too. That was really good. In fact, I think it wasn't like an interview, like a proper interview, but Tim Ferriss took clips of a course that he taught. And I learned some great negotiating skills from it. I actually negotiated my cable bill down using a tip that I learned on that episode. It was great.
Yeah, you and thousands of other people have followed that tip, and they're always raving about that cable bill tip or the telephone tip or whatever.
Right. No, it's good. Okay, so what non-book piece of art had the biggest influence on you as a digital entrepreneur?
Piece of art. Can live keynotes be a piece of art? I guess
absolutely.
They're a piece of art, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, they are. Okay. No question.
So I saw Jay Beer live. He did, I believe it was the closing keynote at the National Speakers Association conference in Philadelphia about, good God, 3-4 years ago. And I've known Jay for maybe 5 years or so, but I'd never actually seen him speak live before. And Jay was up on stage doing a keynote in regards to, and bear in mind, this is, you know, the perfect lead into like Youpreneur for me all those years back, where he was talking about becoming your own media channel or your own media station or media company. And obviously the room is full of thousands of professional speakers and coaches, right, at the NSA.
Yeah.
And he just blew me away. Not only was his content bang on for the audience itself, and that in itself is a lesson where a lot of keynote speakers will do the same keynote over and over and over again in front of many different types of audiences. But the way he tailored it to this audience with the examples, with the takeaways, with the insights, you knew that he had done his, you know, his research and his work and had practiced. But it was just the way he delivered it as a keynote speaker and as someone who at that point was starting to do, you know, more breakout sessions, concurrent sessions. I'd yet to keynote a big conference.
Yeah.
I sat back and I was kind of in awe of Jay and the way that he projected his message in front of thousands of people. Very, very big event, the annual conference for the National Speakers Association. And that night, I actually had dinner with Jay. And I said to him, dude, you just blew me away. Like, you're my hero. You're my speaker hero. And so I think, yeah, Jay Beer on stage, if you get the chance, go see him. He's incredible.
Yeah, agreed. What productivity hack has had the biggest impact on your ability to get more meaningful work done?
Good one. I think there's two things that I do. Can I overachieve quickly?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I would expect nothing less.
All right. So I think the first thing is that I get my creative work done first thing. So I'm up early. I get to work usually around 8 a.m. And by 10 a.m. usually, I'm done with my creative work. So what does that mean? It means writing a blog post or recording a workshop for Youpreneur members or maybe recording a video or doing a podcast interview. Whatever the case may be, it's creative. I do that first thing before I look at my email, before I look at Twitter, before I go into the community and converse with members there. It's creative work first. That's the first thing. And that in itself is meaningful work, right? At the end of the day.
It's the most meaningful work, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that I do when it comes to email, and email is the bane of every digital entrepreneur's life, let's face it. For me, the big thing that I do is actually follow a three-click rule with a three-sentence rule combined. So if anybody's ever received an email from me, at the end of my email signature, you'll see, why is this email three sentences or less? Click here to find out. And there's a little link that you can click. And if you're too lazy to send me an email and figure this one out for yourselves, anyone tuning in, you can just go to chrisducker.com/3rule and you'll see exactly what the deal is. But ultimately, what I do is when I open an email, I do one of three things. I either delete it, I either reply or forward it, or I archive it. And I do it there and then. I never open an email twice, ever. I reply to it the moment I read it, or I forward it, or I delete it, or I archive it. And that's the reason why I get to inbox zero basically every single day.
Hmm. When you archive it, do you have a way of categorizing special emails that maybe you didn't want to reply to, but there's a nugget in there that you don't want to forget?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've got probably 25 or so labels inside of Gmail that I use. That's the way we do that.
Gotcha. So my final question, and this one is an easy one. The pressure is now off. What is the single best way for someone inspired by today's discussion to get in touch with you?
That is really easy. That is a good one. you know, everything I do is linked to at chrisducker.com, and that's what I'm all about.
Very nice. Mr. Ducker, this was a pleasure. I appreciate you being here.
And pleasure as well.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing you in Denver coming up this year. It'll be just a few months.
Man, I tell you what, you guys are putting on a great show by the looks of it. Like, I cannot wait. I've never been to a, you know, copy blogger, Rainmaker, Brian Clark, you know, type event before. But I am incredibly excited to be at the event in October. And I, you know, for me, honestly has nothing to do with things like the venue or the show or the great band you've got playing or anything like that. It's just the fact that because I know it's done by you guys, I know it's going to be awesome. And I just can't wait to be there with you guys. It's going to be the highlight of my speaking year. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. You're speaking on the first day, as am I. So well, let's set the bar high.
I was going to say, are you going before me or after me?
I think I'm before you.
Screwed.
No.
I'm totally
screwed. No. No, you're going to show them how it's done, but we got to set the bar high for everybody who's speaking on day two. We got to really put the pressure on them.
Yeah. I want to see Jeff Walker walk out shaking, literally shaking from an onstage.
That would be awesome. Well, Chris, thank you. Give my best to Urs. And we will talk soon.
All right, my brother. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thank you. All righty. Well, my thanks to Chris Ducker for joining me here on this episode of The Digital Entrepreneur. And my thanks to you for listening all the way through. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. I definitely enjoyed it. And I feel much better now knowing that if I run into Richard Branson throughout any of my travels, I will know to address him as Sir Richard at first. And then he will probably say, no, that's okay. Which is cool. But all the links for stuff that we talked about, those will be in the show notes. So you can go check those out at rainmaker.fm. One more reminder in terms of the event. The link is rainmaker.fm/summit-speakers. Again, the early bird price goes up next Thursday. That's Thursday, July 28th. So make sure that you go to that link, get the best price possible, book your ticket, join us in Denver. Because you're going to want to be there, and it's going to help take you again from point A to point B with your digital business, with your digital product, your digital service, whatever it is. We want to help you take that next step. Digital Commerce Summit is the place to do it, because you'll get the education, you'll get the networking, you'll get the motivation that you need. That is why you should go. I really hope to see you there. Rainmaker.fm/summit-speakers. Alrighty. I will talk to you next week on another brand new episode of The Digital Entrepreneur. Take care.